Today on The Balanced Word.
Maybe you never killed anybody. Maybe you've never committed adultery. But I'll tell you something, even if I don't know you, the first time I meet you, I know this, you're destroying yourself and you're destroying the people around you, because that's what we do on our own. And that's what the Bible calls sin. And if we can all just admit it, we're on the way to mercy and grace and healing and joy and happiness and blessing. And I believe that the only thing that stands between us and blessing is denial.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
When we blow it, we have a choice to make. Deny our sin and pretend it's not there, or allow it to be dealt with. Today on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolfe will urge us to confess our sins to God and experience the wonderful blessings of forgiveness as we do. Our study today is taken from Psalm 32. So grab that Bible of yours if you can and follow along.
He took our sins upon himself on the cross so that all we have to do is see what it is, see it through his eyes, understand it for what he says it is. And as we do that, it's automatically gone. We don't have to suffer for our sin. We don't have to do something, jump through some hoop in order to receive forgiveness. All we have to do is call it what it is. It's sin. Now you go, wait a minute, I don't even have to change it? You mean if I sin and then I go, whoop, that was sin, he takes it? And what if I do it again? Acknowledge it again. He takes it? Absolutely. That's what David discovered. That's the glory of God's grace. That's the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't stop there, because it's amazing how many times I may be habitually in a sin and I don't want to admit it and I defend it and I justify and rationalize it, but it's amazing how often once I just admit what it is and I go, you know what? I can't get around it. This is just wrong. It's amazing. It doesn't have a hold over me the way it did. It's kind of like if you get caught up in a plot with some people and everyone knows too much about everyone else, it forces you to remain in that kind of a lifestyle. But once you shine the light on, once the truth comes out, all of a sudden now there isn't any threat at all. I read a story once about a woman who was involved in some crimes and she ditched out and jumped bail, and she spent 30 years of her life on the run. Fake names. Every time a cop looked at her funny, she was sure she was made, and she took off and went to the next town and made up a new identity and struggled and worked for, you know, minimum wage under the table for 30 years. Finally, she just said, I can't take it anymore. I can't live like this. And she came forward. She got an attorney and said, okay, it's me. They're looking for me. I know it. The attorney came back a couple days later and said, nobody was looking for you. That case was thrown out 27 years ago, and she had been running and starving and struggling and not able to have normal relationships, and there wasn't even anyone after her. And I'm convinced so often that's what we do with our sin. We're like, oh, I can't let anybody know this. I can't confess this to God. I can't let anyone else see me for who I am. I'll be completely rejected. And then finally, we work up the courage to go, you know, there's something that I've just got to get it off my chest. And you get it off your chest and people go, that's it? That's the big deal? Hey, that's the way God feels about all our sin. We confess it. We go, God, it's wrong what I did. And he goes, yeah, I know. Let's forget about it now. Let's move forward. Let's move on. And so David, as he confessed, acknowledged his sin and quit hiding, God forgave him. So now he gives a practical piece of advice. Over in Psalm 51, he said, God, if you restore me, I'll teach other people. And so this is probably one of his first attempts at doing that. He said, for this cause, here's what you ought to do. Everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. He said, God, here's the thing. Why don't people come to you sooner? That's what they ought to do. If they want to know you, if they want to be like you, they won't wait until it eats them up. When there's a flood of great waters, it might be too late. Hey, the time to get out of town is when the hurricane is a couple days offshore. It's not to sit and wait around until you're sitting up on the roof of your house hoping to be rescued. Now, still, God has every intention of rescuing you no matter when you cry out to him. But sometimes we'll allow ourselves to get so deep into our sin, to get so deep into the habit of disobedience to God, that as the floodwaters come up, we think we have more important things to worry about than getting right with God. And so David is saying, they ought to cry out to you early. They ought to go to you first. And that's what we should do. Don't wait until your sin is destroying you to confess it. It's just going to get worse and worse. And who knows, eventually you may be too busy denying it all. You may be too busy fighting for your life to even be able to turn to him. But he goes on and says to the Lord, you are my hiding place. The idea is, I'm not going to hide anywhere else. I'm not going to fake it. You're my hiding place. You're the one who can protect me. You're the one who has the answers. And God, I want to run to you early. You're my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You'll surround me with songs of deliverance. He said, God, you're the most secure place for me to be that there is. And I want you to know, whether you know God or not, maybe you're running from him, but to turn and run to him is the smartest thing you could do. You'll find out your security is there in God, within his plan for your life. He's there. And you might think he's chasing you, but all he's trying to do is to get close to you, to take that burden off of your life, to remove your sin, to forgive you. That's what he's looking for. That's what he wants. It's so sad when we live our lives trapped and weighed down and torn up by our sin. Maybe something you did a long, long time ago, or maybe a habit that you've just picked up for so long but the last vestige of pride within you is preventing you from just admitting what it is. And again, confession isn't paying for your sin. Your sin was paid for on Calvary. Confession is just going, yep, that's it. Yeah, you're right, God. That was sin. But it's funny, when you admit it, you don't want to go back and do it again. It has a purifying effect. But there's something about justifying yourself, playing games with God, being in denial, that causes patterns to develop of behavior. See, if I can defend what I'm doing, and I can pretend like it's, I can make up really spiritual reasons for what I'm doing. For instance, if my kids are getting on my nerves, so I chew them out and yell at them, and then I'm realizing, I don't know, that doesn't feel quite right, but I'm battling sin. I've got to convince them. I got to grab them and shake them and let them know, oh, this is right. Now I just spiritualized sin. You think I'm going to stop doing it? No, I convinced myself that they had it coming and it's really for their good. And deep down inside, I was screaming at them out of love. Deep down inside, as I'm being mean to my spouse or to my friends or to people at my work, or as I'm backstabbing others and I'm really doing it for their own good. I'm doing it because they're so messed up. And I'm just desperately trying to get their attention so they can turn to God and repent. Hey, sounds good. You're fooling yourself. And in the process, what happens is that behavior is going to continue. That behavior will continue to replicate itself in your life. And it will continue to eat up everything about you and everyone around you, and it will end up destroying you, all because you just won't say, I was wrong. It's so easy to say you're wrong. Even if you're partly wrong, even if there's a little piece of you that's wrong, I've learned this over the years. Hey, if somebody wants to come and accuse me of something, easiest thing in the world is to go, you're probably right. I'm really sorry. Then what are they going to do? I already said I'm wrong. It's not like I haven't made any other mistakes this year. It's not like, oh no, I was batting 1,000. And now someone's saying I did something wrong. You know, I shared a message and somebody's offended and somebody thinks I shouldn't have said it that way, or I shouldn't have presented it in that way, or I shouldn't have used that word or that example. And it's like everything within me wants to go, you don't know, man. I'm so filled with the Spirit. I know that message was perfect. And the fact is, if you're offended, if the shoe fits, wear it. God's probably trying. No, it's like, you know what? For me to say something I shouldn't say, it's not news. It's not like, oh no, I blew it once. No way, man. Every time I open my mouth, I'm going to say something stupid. So if you say I was wrong, okay, fine. Now, I don't know, you want to beat me up over it? What do you want me to do? Crawl on the floor, kiss your feet? I don't know. What am I? No, it's like admitting that you're wrong is one of the biggest blessings that we have, especially because God hears it and he says, that has been wiped out. That's history. That's past. You are forgiven. Oh, how blessed. Oh, how happy is the person that figures this out. On the other hand, to continue to not talk about the elephant in the room, to continue to deny, to continue to pretend, that's bad. Because now you're just continuing in the thing that will destroy you. Now you go, but if I do this sin and then I admit it, God forgives me, I do it again? What if I do it 100 times? And every time I go, yep, but was wrong, I'm going to go do it again. I wouldn't say, oh, be careful, God's not going to forgive you. See, what I would say is, your sin is going to destroy you if you keep doing it. God keeps letting you know, hey, this is destructive. If you don't want to listen to him, you can keep destroying yourself. But for most of us, the reason why we continue in sin isn't because of his cheap grace. It wasn't cheap for him. He hung on a cross and died so that he could easily forgive you. But the price has been paid when Jesus was there on the cross and said, it is finished. Now the only thing that's messing your life up is not admitting who you are and what you're doing and how you failed. And the fact that you have sin and wickedness and iniquity and transgressions and all these things, he paid for it. Just admit you need it. How many times do we, knowing that there's something physically wrong with us, especially men, we don't go to the doctor because somehow we think if we don't go to the doctor, nothing will be wrong with us. And, you know, it's like, you ought to have that checked out. Nah, I'm afraid of what they'll say. And it's never going and having it checked out that kills you. It's not going and having it checked out that kills you, ultimately. And it's the same way in every area of our lives. If we're feeling worn down, if we're feeling conflicted, if life is just really hurting right now. Now, there may be other people doing things against you, no doubt. But the truth is, the main cause of what's wrong with you is you. Just admit it. Just begin to think, okay, God, where am I doing something that you don't want me to do? Search me, know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in your way. The glorious truth is then you find out that God is your hiding place, that he is the safe place. I kind of feel safer when I'm on my own because I'm afraid if I come to him, he's going to beat me up. He doesn't do that. He only wants you to be close so that he can hold you and make you secure. He goes on to say, and now it's God speaking in verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. God says, I want to lead you, and I want to teach you in everything that you're doing. But what I want to do, I don't want to just whip you into shape. I don't want to drive you and force you and kick you with my, you know, with the spurs and everything to make you go. He said, I want to guide you with my eye. I want you to be close to me, feel secure in me, and then if I look at you, you'll know what that means. And I want you to be able to see your life and the world through my eyes. I want you to see them the way that I see them. And he says, if that happens, I'll lead you easy. Oh, if I have to, I'll drive you with a stick. I'll treat you like a horse. But I haven't wanted to do that, God says. And a lot of times when we are feeling like, oh man, he's pulling me, he's forcing me. So many times when we feel like God just takes every option away from us and there's only one thing we can do. And it's like, man, how long am I going to be eating it this way? And God's saying, I wanted you to just see it my way. But because you can't, because you're refusing to open your eyes and see the obvious about yourself, then I guess I've got to stick a bridle and a bit in there and pull you around to where you're going. But if you only saw things my way, if you would only confess your sin and admit who you are, then I could lead you with my eye. I could lead you easily and gently. Life could be great for you. But instead, if you fight against me, hey, what's wrong with you needs to be fixed. I'm doing this for your own good. I'm trying to save your life. I'm trying to save your marriage. I'm trying to save your family. I'm trying to let you see how you're hurting yourself. And so as a result, If you don't look through my eyes, I'll whack you with a stick. I'll pull you where you need to go. I'll push you. I'll kick you. But that's not the way I want to do it, God says. I just want to lead you. But if you won't see things through my eyes, then I guess I'm just going to have to see enough for the both of us. He goes on to say, and again, the idea is you have to do that to an animal to get them to be close to you. God's going, I'm trying to pull you close to me where I am your hiding place, where you are safe. If I have to, I'll do that, but that's not the way I want to do it. David then says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Oh, man. If you will not confess your sin, if you will in pride defend yourself all the time, if you deny the obvious, lots of sorrow, lots of pain. But he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Mercy. The only way you get mercy is if you're guilty. Mercy is God showing his goodness and not allowing you to suffer the consequences of what you've done. Mercy says you deserve nothing, but I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to bless you instead. And for a person who trusts in the Lord, you have to trust someone to confess to them. You know, if there's something that you really need to say to someone, but you don't know if you can, a lot of your thought is, I wonder if I can really trust this person enough. And God says, when it comes to confessing, you can trust me. I gave my son for you. You can trust me. And if you choose to trust me, you're going to find my mercy is all around you. As we saw a couple weeks ago in the 23rd Psalm, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You can trust him. It's okay. And you'll find out when you open up to him, it was the best thing you could ever do. And he goes on to command us here in verse 11. It's amazing how many times we're commanded to be glad in the Lord, to rejoice. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Your heart's been upside down. Your life has been full of confusion and pain, and things aren't working out and things aren't adding up. He says, figure it out. You messed up. Figure it out. You've sinned. You've gone over that line. You've missed the mark. You've come short of God's glory. And if you will admit that one sin at a time, just, it's not like, oh God, I did this and I was so mean to somebody in my family yesterday. Please forgive me. I feel so bad. No, it's just like, you know, God, the way I talked to that person yesterday, it was wrong. It was a sin. That's it. Doesn't need tears. You don't need to convince him of how sorry you are. Just admit it because you've been denying it. And as we do that, the result is all the weight's lifted. The burdens are gone. Some of you, when you came to the Lord, you had that experience all at once of just, wow, I feel so free. But in your walk with the Lord continuing, you can pick up some habits along the way. You can take on some sins because you're going to sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. And those sins are starting to destroy you. And your choice is to admit what they are and they're gone. Or to continue to hide them. You're packing on a few pounds of junk in the trunk and you're just like going, that's okay, I like it this way. No, you don't. Dump it off. Get rid of it. Confess your sin. Admit, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. This isn't how life is supposed to feel. And I'm responsible. And I don't want to do this anymore. And God, you're right, and shudder. I'm wrong. I am wrong. Because you are wrong. It's true. And he is right. That's true too. And for you to deny it isn't going to change anything except it's just going to mess your life up. But to accept his forgiveness by confessing our sin, man, then we're glad. Then we're rejoicing because the burden is lifted. There was an old song that said, burdens are lifted at Calvary. It's true. It's coming to the cross and going, wow, I did that to you. It's looking at our life and saying, that was wrong, that was wrong, that was wrong, that was wrong. And then you feel like, and I'm not going to do it again. And I'm not, oh, you just sinned again. You lied. Don't even tell them you're not going to do it again. Just tell them it's wrong. That's what confession is. And you don't even have to go, and I'm really going to try. Because the truth is the reason you continue to sin is because you've convinced yourself that it's not sin. Once you can understand that it's really hurting you, and hurting the cause of Christ and hurting what he wants to do in your life, once you see sin for sin, it's going to be taken care of. It'll melt away. You won't even know what happened to it. But as long as you defend your sin, you're doomed to live in it. You're doomed to die in it. Oh, if God would just give us the common sense to learn early on what David had to learn through a very painful experience, through something that would brand him for all of eternity, David and not usually Goliath, it's Bathsheba. Oh, man. But David understood God doesn't see him as David and Bathsheba, that guy. We do. We might disqualify him forever from ministry because of his mistake, because of his sin. Call it what it is. We would go, that's it, man. You're an adulterer and a murderer. But God looks at it and goes, no, you admitted that. And so I don't even remember it anymore. I'm not going to treat you based on what you did, as long as what you did was confessed and I paid for it. And so God looks at David in a whole different light sometimes than we do. And like some of the last words in the Bible are Jesus identifying himself as the root and offspring of David. Jesus bragging about being related to David, the murderer, the adulterer. Maybe you never killed anybody. Maybe you've never committed adultery. But I'll tell you something, even if I don't know you, the first time I meet you, I know this, you're destroying yourself and you're destroying the people around you, because that's what we do on our own. And that's what the Bible calls sin. And if we can all just admit it, we're on the way to mercy and grace and healing and joy and happiness and blessing. And I believe that the only thing that stands between us and blessing is denial. We don't have to live this way, you guys. We really don't.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. We've seen just how destructive denial can be today on The Balanced Word, as well as blessings that follow genuine repentance and confession. Now let's finish up our message in prayer with Pastor Dave.
Lord, we so desire to know your blessing. And we want to rejoice in you, and sometimes we even fake joy to try to do you a favor. And we now even confess that as sin. It's not right. It's not right to pretend to be anything. God, we want to opt out of this professional liar program that we joined when we became human beings. And instead, Lord, we want to just admit what we know and everyone else knows, that we sin, that we violate, that we fail. But God, on a daily basis, we want to admit our sin. We want to see it for what it is. We want to see it through your eyes. See how much damage it does and see how easily it can be forgiven. So Lord, hide us in your secret dwelling place. Protect us from ourselves and from each other. And God, we will give you all the glory and we will rejoice in the knowledge of the fact that everything we've ever done wrong by just saying it's wrong. One at a time, thinking of the things that we've done even today that weren't right. That as we agree with you, you take them away. May we feel the freedom and the blessing of not carrying a bunch of extra junk around with us. Help us to stop pretending. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our study in the Psalms will resume tomorrow in the Balanced Word with Pastor Dave. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my